I had a very good rest, so I've been very high spirits. Every day I'm hyper. Oh dear. I mean, PG was supposed to join us this morning as well, but he suddenly took ill. PG, we're praying you get well really quick. Get well really quick. We'll get in touch with you right after the show. We're sorry. Okay, so we're talking about maturity before marriage. Last week we had a conversation, and this conversation is, you know, coming out from what we talked about last week about this 19-year-old who wanted to get married at all costs. Her parents think that you still have a lot of maturing to do, you still have a lot of exploring to do, you still have a lot of growing up to do, you still have a lot of life ahead of you, your education, getting a proper job and all that. And then we shared, you know, some very interesting perspectives and angles to that show. But then, like I said, one of the things that came up very strong was, is she mature enough to want to be married at 19? Between Kofi and Nicolina last week, it was really about, I mean, initially we said, you know, the fears of parents, but we changed that word and we said concerns. Every parent whose child, 18, 19, would want to get married, you definitely would be concerned about a lot of things. Is she ready? Can she handle what marriage brings? Because you, I mean, the parents are married and they know the things that they have to deal with and surmount every day, you know. And we had that conversation and gave some advice. So today we want to talk about this whole idea of maturity. We hear people tell people that you're old, but you're not mature. The fact that you're old doesn't mean that you're mature enough. So when we talk about maturity, especially relating it to relationship and marriage, what are we talking about? Kofi happens to be right in front of me here in the studio, so I will start with you, Osofoloya.
All right, Adam, good morning again, and good morning to our listeners. So first of all, when we talk about maturity in relationship or marriage, we're not focusing on the age, because we know that there are people who are old in age but are not very wise or are not very mature in their thinking or the way they do things. So the focus is actually on being emotionally mature.
Okay.
Because we know that relationships can be very complicated. You know, it involves lots of practical skills. It involves lots of intense emotions. It involves the willingness to learn. And so where in a situation where individuals are not emotionally mature or not emotionally intelligent, it can make or unmake the relationship. So the focus is actually on what we need to, who we need to be or what we need to be in order for our marriages or relationships to succeed.
Great.
And these include the way we are able to empathize, the way we are able to express our feelings in a non-violent way, the way we are able to create healthy boundaries and respect the space of others. I mean, if you're married and you're always snooping on your spouse's phones because you're looking for trouble or you're so suspicious, obviously that could lead to some trouble. If you're married and you cannot feel for your spouse when they are down, when they are not doing so well, you cannot tell and be able to empathize and be supportive, obviously your spouse will not be too happy with you. So there are lots of things, how you resolve conflict in the marriage, how you communicate. I mean, being emotionally mature means that you're not afraid to show your vulnerabilities, you're not afraid to express your low moments. You know, so there's a lot of things that entail what it means to be emotionally mature.
Great. So, in essence, if we're relating this to the age thing, then we're saying that there may be, you could have, say, a 40-year-old man
Yes.
And probably a 25-year-old man. And this 25-year-old could be exhibiting these traits much better than this 40-year-old.
That is so.
In that case, we'll say this 25-year-old is probably more mature than this 40-year-old.
Yes.
Okay, great. Let me come to you, Phoebe.
Hello.
Hi, Phoebe. We can hear you.
Hi.
Maturity in marriage, before you get married. So I mean, we'll always go back to the topic, saying that it's not just about being old enough, but it's also about, it's more about being mature enough. And we're exploring this whole subject of maturity.
And I like what Rev was saying about it not being an age-based issue. And practically speaking, I mean, for a couple to thrive, there are three areas that they need to align in, and that is their vision, their values, and their identity. And when an individual is not very clear about their identity, their vision, and their values, it's very hard to align with somebody else and to be able to come to some form of cohesive whole and thrive in a relationship or as a couple. And so it requires the person to, first and foremost, identify who they are, be very clear about who they want to be, the values they want to espouse, and then obviously the vision that they have for the future. And when they're able to do this and they meet someone who is a potential wife or husband or spouse or partner or whatever, then they're able to communicate these values with them. But then at the crux of it, the person needs to be willing to compromise and sacrifice. And that's where maturity really needs to come in. And so if you're not able to speak that language, if you're not able to express emotional intelligence, have empathy, be able to be a good listener, be able to be a great communicator, all these skills that one learns over time. And it's not just about time in the sense of linear time, but actually making that conscious investment to grow in these areas, then you can find that the person is not mature enough, the person is not equipped enough to make that commitment to someone else.
Great. Thank you, Phoebe, for that initial comment. It's, basically aligning with what, Kofi just said. So we're talking about this person must be emotionally intelligent, and emotional intelligence in itself is a whole conversation.
Yeah.
You must have empathy, you must be able to communicate properly, and you definitely need to be equipped with these values to be mature enough, because there are hurdles ahead of you. Not to say that marriage is a scary thing, but you will have to work through it.
Exactly.
And these are values, or these are tools that you need to be able to work and navigate yourself through marriage. Great. Ariel, I'll come to you now.
Yeah.
Yes. Maturity. Your initial comments about maturity in a relationship or marriage or somebody, or what does it mean, really?
Okay. Good morning, Adam. Thank you. Good morning to our lovely listeners. In fact, this week, this is the second time I'm having a conversation like this. And I've had a lot of questions from people about maturity and marriage as well. But simply saying, like all the other guests have said, it's not just about the age. Though every country has an age limit where you need to get there before you can get married. I think for Ghana, it's 21 for the female and the male is 25, if I'm not... Lawyer, correct me on
that. It's 18.
It's 18 now? Okay. Yeah. 18, yes. So
it actually has been 18 for the longest period.
The legal age for marriage.
Yeah.
Okay. So every country has that. But on an individual level, there are so many things that you need to call yourself mature to get married. And like we are saying, they shared about the emotional and empathy side and all that. But there's also a need to know that you need to have some moral maturity. And moral maturity is some of the things that doesn't come just because you turned 18. There's a need to have social maturity as well. And if you're going into a relationship and you are not fully developed, so simply putting maturity in a simple term is being developed. So a full developed person. What are your personal developments on certain areas in your life, which are some of the areas that's been mentioned? Physically, are you fully developed to even get pregnant and carry a child? When it comes to your health condition at that age. And then your emotional maturity, your social maturity is also crucial, because if you are not socially matured, there are a lot of things you are going to experience. If you don't even know how to deal with people on a very matured way to even accept your mistake and say you are sorry, you haven't aligned yourself with your values, you don't know where you are going in your life, you haven't developed on the 8 dimensions of your life, including financial maturity. If you are not financially matured, how would you go into a relationship where you are going to be making decisions together in order to get somewhere with what you are doing? So there are a lot of areas that needs this maturity. Physically, you need to be matured. Socially, you need to be matured. Morally, you need to know what morally it is that you are going into and understand it, as well as also spiritually, which Phoebe spoke about, more about the values you are living your life with, so that when you go into the marriage, that value will guide you in your decision making. But if you don't have this maturity and you just decide that because I have turned the age that I need to go into marriage, it's okay, there are a lot of things that will surprise you. And I think it's not people's fault to think that they can just get married. Nobody has actually made us aware of what it takes or what we need to do on our own before we get married. So maturity is not just about the age. You need a lot of grounding in yourself as a person, meaning that you have developed mentally, socially, and spiritually, and also emotionally, psychologically, to understand the terrain you are going to go to. If you just think by turning 18, you can face everything, that may not be so true. Because like the word says, sometimes experience is the best teacher. So age is not just the factor. Though physically, you need certain qualities as well, but there are several things you need to be developed upon before you can say, I'm ready to get married.
Great. So what it is that the physical maturity is important. The age is also very important. Yes. Because you can't also get up at age 15 and say that, okay, yeah, I think I am very intelligent. Like, for instance, you have some kids who are really blessed with very high IQs.
Yes.
You know, you're 5. You're blessed with this very high IQ that you can do what professors do. Doesn't mean that all of you're a sudden you can be in the classroom and you are lecturing people.
Exactly.
No. So you could be 15 and, you know, exhibit a lot of maturity. But then that physical and physiological development is also very important.
Yeah.
So when you hit 18, then we'll say that physically or physiologically, you're ready to be in a relationship that you can probably manage.
Mm-hmm.
You can get pregnant at that mm-hmm. age and you won't have people pointing fingers at you, because physiologically you have come of age and physically you have come of age. Asafo lawyer is here. legally you have come of age.
Yes.
So nobody will bash you for that. Beyond that, and those were the questions we were asking last week. Are you now ready mentally?
Mm-hmm.
To handle all of this, and that's where the emotional maturity comes from.
Adam, I mean, the child with a very high IQ may well be able to lecture others and thrive academically, but are they ready to coexist with another person, you know, in a small space?
Mm-hmm.
That is where the challenge comes in.
Exactly.
And as I stated earlier, maturity also involves life's experiences. So how much experience do you have in life for you to be able to impact others positively, for you to be able to live with others?
So I'd like us to break this down. Okay, so we've looked at the physical or the physiological, which we have all said that is very important.
Yeah.
Now when we take, and I would like us to break it down by citing scenarios to make it
practical.
Yes, more practical to, you know, us and our audience. Especially with the emotional maturity, and that's it, because there's the spiritual maturity as well.
Yes.
You know, and the emotional maturity is there. And then, I mean, there are decisional and all of those things where the financial and everything will come through. But then when I was reading, I came across this incident that was cited about this gentleman whose wife told him that this Christmas I'd like to spend it with my parents. Then husband became upset. Why your parents? You've made the decision already, and you just get up and tell me that you're going to spend the Christmas with your parents, when I was also thinking about taking time off for us to be together as a family, or, you know, go for vacation somewhere and all that. And this man gets very upset, not talking to his wife, and yeah, so there's cold war in the house. Mm-hmm. Okay. And this guy was labeled as immature because she didn't come up to say that I have decided, closed, I would like to mm-hmm. spend it with my parents, because mm-hmm. I haven't done that in a long time.
Yeah.
And if you had plans, there's a way you could have communicated.
Yeah.
To go like, oh, mm-hmm. wow, that probably is a good idea. Mm-hmm. But how about us doing A, B, C, D, and being able to communicate properly for this person to understand? But then you get up and then you're upset because of that. I won't talk to you again. This person has been labeled as not being emotionally mature. There's another incident where a couple are having a conversation. Somebody says something the other person doesn't like. And usually, I think it's the men who exhibit a lot of those.
Because, the woman says something. The women mature more quickly than
exactly.
men do. So
you get upset, and then you're banging doors, and I'm not talking to you.
Yeah.
And, you know, live your life and let me live my life. For very little and simple things. Mm-hmm. When you read around, people like this have been labeled
as immature.
I'd like us to get into some of these things. When you say somebody is emotionally mature, what traits do they mm-hmm. exhibit? Mm-hmm. How do they handle issues that they are not happy about?
Mm-hmm.
Things that upset them. How are they supposed mm-hmm. to go about it? Especially so knowing that in a relationship or marriage, you're not by yourself anymore.
Mm-hmm.
There's another person you're dealing with who also has a lot of emotions, mm-hmm. who has feelings. So how are you supposed to handle these issues? And also not come across as trying to be the bigger person in the room and suppressing your own emotions and your own mm-hmm. feelings.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys get what I'm trying to drive at.
So, yes.
Adam. Okay, great.
So, being able to control your emotions is very critical when it comes to emotional maturity.
Okay.
So, the fact that you get very angry and ticked off, very upset over something trivial may indicate that you're not emotionally mature.
Okay.
And it also means that you're not able to communicate effectively by listening and talking back, or letting your concerns be known in a way that is not confrontational, that you can have a conversation with your spouse.
Mm.
Sweetheart, I thought that we're all going to do this together. How come you're doing this? I mean, in that case, what are we supposed to do? What am I supposed to do with the children?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you going to just go and leave us? Or are you expecting all of us to go? Oh, I thought as a family, it would be good for us to do so and so. That is how you communicate. But when all is said and done, Adam, when you're wrong, how do you also handle it?
Mm.
Are you able to apologize?
Mm.
You know, are you able to forgive? Because ultimately, you want to have a marriage or a relationship that thrives. So if you cannot forgive and you're filled with resentment and you keep going back to old scores and things that happened 20 years ago and last 5 years ago you did this and 2 years ago you did that, and you keep, you know, going back to these things, obviously it will be difficult for you to make peace. It will be difficult for you to live with your spouse in a more understanding and in a harmonious way.
Great. Great. So, I mean, I'll let Phoebe and Ariel talk and then we can sum this one up. Yes, Phoebe.
Yes. You know, you alluded to a child's development. Mm. You know, the reason why the age for assent, even for marital, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Okay. The reason why the age for marriage is 18 is because by then, what they have discovered is that the frontal lobe of that young person has developed. So they are able to execute, you know, executive functioning, they're able to manage their personalities, their motor function, and those basic, you know, behavioral tools much easier than a younger person. That's why they say that, you know, the age should be like 18 because of the factor of executive functioning. That's the person's ability to manage themselves. So that's where, when we talk about emotional intelligence, we talk about self-awareness, and we even talk about self-regulation, because in the examples that you're giving, if the person is not able to control their emotions and also be able to adequately assess the emotions of the people around them, and because Ariel mentioned social development and social maturity, you need to be able to tap into and to read the emotions of the people around you before you make an executive decision, before you decide on something. You need to know how to pause and reflect. You need to know how to process what you're hearing before you give a response. And so all these things come with age on one side, natural physical development, but also, like I said, intentional learning and, you know, just going through the process of growing and learning through, you know, programs like this, learning how to develop these skills for yourself. And I also think that through communication with your partner and learning how to hone these skills in communication and in just in community. And I think a lot of young people who go into relationships miss out on this. So we, when we're younger, you have this tendency to just want to be alone with that person and get to know them, but not get to know them within that, within their community, get to know them within their home, within their friendship groups, within their work colleagues, because it gives you a multidimensional understanding and of that person and even of yourself and how you react in these settings. So it's very important that if this is something that you want to pursue, that you make that decision to learn and also open up and be vulnerable to that person to get to know you as well.
I'm going to ask you a follow-up question. So when people make up their minds and decide that, okay, I am listening to Home Affairs today and I am learning and understanding that there are certain personal skills that I will have to hone. For instance, learn to communicate very well. Where do they even start from? Because you see, before they
That's
come...
That's such a good question.
Where do they even start from? Because before That's they come into the question. Before they come into the relationship, they have been by themselves. Mm-hmm. I do things that suit me. I mean, it's just about me, really. Mm-hmm. But now, I will have to start... And people are very territorial, you know.
Yes.
I will all of a sudden have to start accommodating this person. You have to unlearn and relearn a lot of things. That's how come I am asking. Because there are lots of people who confuse. You know, I mean, this is who I am.
Yes.
This is me. Yes.
Take it or leave it.
Exactly. And you will have to accept it. Because I'm not changing my colors for anybody. Mm-hmm. I'm not, you have to accept me and love me the way I am. And otherwise, you know, there are people who are like that. But we're learning from a conversation like this that if you want to be in a relationship, then you can't have that approach.
Yes, exactly.
So the person has agreed that I can't have that approach. But my question now is, so where did they start from?
That's such a great question. And I think that I mean, I'm so happy that conversations like these are even being had. I think maybe about, what, 5-10 years ago, there was no, well, if you ask me, there was no conversation like this. There was nothing about personal development, relationship growth, relationship development. Everybody, you just get in and, you know, you just hold on.
Yeah, you are in love and that's all that matters.
We didn't have life coaches.
You hold on. No, there weren't.
So, I mean, it's now that, you know, for some of us who have been in mental health and, you know, studied psychology and everything, now we've learned and we've seen that, no, it's a cross-section of ideas and you need to really take a step back and assess what you're doing. And I think young people of today are actually very curious and they are asking questions, how, like you're saying. And ironically, I had a young man, interestingly, reach out to me and say, I'm in a relationship and I think my girlfriend and I don't have the skills and I think we need help. Can you please help us? And it was very humbling. It was very sweet of him to even recognize that. And I think the first step is for you to first recognize that this is a dire need, especially with the trends that we're seeing in our society now. People really need to be equipped and they need to take that step forward to say that, look, I want to learn, I want to know. And, you know, thankfully we have so many counselors, coaches now in the, you know, on the scene. We have Rev here, we have Ariel, you know, and so many others who are available and who are willing to take people through these steps. I also have a course that I run for young people who just want to learn about themselves, want to learn about their partners and the skill set that they need to make the relationships work. Because like you're saying, I mean, if you don't know and you get in, you may just step out just because you didn't have the skills, you didn't have the tools, you didn't have the know-how, but not because it couldn't work, but because you didn't know how to make it work.
Great. Okay. So, I mean, from what we're saying, I think that one of the things that will make people, I mean, will make you realize that, or the starting point will be the moment you realize that you're not able to tolerate and accommodate other people's perspectives.
Exactly.
The moment you realize that, and you will have to be conscious of that.
Yes.
You realize that you always want to make it about you. You should know that you have a problem.
You're not ready.
You're not ready. I mean, you may not have a problem, but like Kofi said, you're not ready.
Yes.
Because it can't be about you all the time.
Yeah.
No.
Because that's what children do. It's all about them.
Yes.
My toy, my days, my dad. Why didn't you do this for
you're
me?
You're behaving like a kid.
Do. Yes.
It can't be about you.
Yes.
Once you realize that you don't have the ability to see from other people's perspectives and understand why people, or you don't even have the interest in knowing why people behave the way they do in relation to you, then you're not ready for to be with anybody. Yes. You're not mature enough.
Yes.
Exactly. And to add to that, the willingness to learn and unlearn things that you already know is a critical aspect of emotional maturity.
Mm-hmm.
So that if you're not able to take feedback and you get upset over every feedback that's given to you, anytime anybody comments about anything you do, you get
trouble.
Angry, there's trouble. It means you're not willing to learn. Because sometimes some of the things that the feedback that we get is for our own good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
And then being able to also, I think we talked about active listening.
Yeah.
Being able to listen attentively, you know, with undivided attention and bounce words back. Oh, if I heard you right, you're saying that you don't like it when I do this. And then, Adam, I also talked about your ability to not to to be so protective of your vulnerabilities, sharing your feelings. Because if you cannot say that, oh, I feel like what you did really hurt me, it made me very, you know, and you think that if you do that, then you're being weak or you're being a sissy.
Exactly.
And so you would rather not talk and then engage in a cold war. Then obviously you have
a
problem.
Ready.
Yes.
Great. Ariel, I'll come to you now.
I think one of the things I want to just drop in is these, we have this negative bias naturally as in people where everybody thinks I'm good. And so coming to the consciousness that I can still unlearn and relearn is one of the things that when you are emotionally, you want to be emotionally mature, you need to come to that I am not in totality fully developed in every area of my life. But this negativity bias that everybody feels I am good is what leads to some of the things we are sharing here where we are saying you think it's all about you. Because we tend to think I'm good and so the problem is only the other person. But if you change that perspective a bit, that it's not only because the other person is bad, it could be that I am reacting bad to it. It gives you this self-awareness of how you are also impacting the other person. Because when we talk about being emotionally matured, we are looking at someone who is able to control their stresses when they have so much pressure and when they feel they are in conflict with someone. So if a wife tells you, I want to spend Christmas with my parents, and that triggers you, and because of that, you don't talk to her, it means you, the reason why they are saying he's not emotionally matured is he can't be easily spoken to. Because this is quite an easy conversation to have with your spouse. No matter how many years you've lived with them, this is a very easy conversation to have. Why did you choose this year to do this? And then that will lead to some answers for you to come to an understanding.
Ariel, in this case, this person has not even chosen. They are only expressing a feeling,
yes,
a thought.
That's what I'm saying.
And it triggered you so bad.
There should be a conversation on it. I mean, instead of just saying that, why would you consider it at all and not talk to your spouse in the house for days and all that? So that negativity bias that I'm good. So whatever the other person does is because they are not good is one of the barriers we have when it comes to being conscious, to own the fact that we're still open to learning. You are not done just because you turn 30. By opening up to new ideas, new concepts. There needs to be emotional flexibility. You know, if you are matured emotionally, you are flexible to adapting to new concepts, new ideas, and accepting people as they are also adapting and changing. So when we want to show our emotional maturity, we need to be flexible in our mind as well. And also how we react. Instead of reacting, you need to be a very responsive person. Being responsive means you are taking decisions from a more responsive part by having thorough thought through than just reacting because in that moment, you just felt angry at what was said. Being responsive is different from being reactive. And I think that is one of the areas that people need to look at. Am I reacting or am I responding to the needs of my partner? When you are responding, you actually have a thought through process before you even speak. And you think, what am I going to say? If I say no, how does it impact us in a lot of areas? If I say yes, just by having this conscious thought through process, you become aware of how your relationship and your communication can impact the whole relationship. So emotional maturity is something that it needs to be developed and accepted that I am not fully developed right now. Right now, at my age, when I'm in a relationship, there are still areas that I may need to still adjust. Because once you meet a new person, they have another emotional state and you also at another level. So there will be some things that you need to now mature again. So I'm learning, relearning and being open to new perspective and development is key because you can't get it all done in one day because life is not an end to achieve. We are just striving for balance at every stage in your life. So one relationship with someone, you may be the father who won't talk and it could work, but you may be in another relationship with someone and not communicating can be the problem in that relationship. So there's a need to be more open-minded and ready to be flexible when it comes to how we go into relationships so that we can be maturing as we go on, because you are not mature today and that is the end of it. There's always room for more improvements. And what we are talking about is actually about being developed personally as a person. And you can't do it today and finish. Even these coaches here are always learning to become their better version, to keep going up and getting more information and knowledge. It's the same with every individual. You can't get it done and say, I am matured and there's nothing more I need to do. So for me, that is the area I look at when I meet people. Are you open and still, I mean, developing and learning, relearning, and keep learning to become a more matured version of yourself? And I think we need to look at that everywhere. No matter how old you've been in a relationship, there's always room for improvement.
This one is a masterclass. It is not one of those fun conversations. It's not sweet.
Oh, it's very deep.
I tell you, it is not a sweet one. it's about you going into yourself and being very honest with yourself and asking yourself questions.
That's
and
right.
and being able to tell yourself that I need to work on myself.
Exactly.
Otherwise, we're just talking. Mm-hmm. It's about being very honest with yourself. You know that very solemn conversation that you have with yourself to ask, "Am I ready?"
Yes.
And we have given you some indicators. I just quickly run through some of them. They're not in any particular order. So we've mentioned that once you realize that you cannot accept other people's perspectives easily, or see from their angles. It means that you're not ready to coexist with somebody, because then the marriage means that you're entangled together. And so if you want to make it about you, that okay, there are some people who say that I've heard that thing before. They cannot share a bed with anybody. I cannot share a room with anybody.
A bathroom.
Yet you want to be married. And then you meet up somebody, you're talking marriage, and you let the person understand that no matter what you're doing, okay, we can meet, you can come to my room, I can come to your room, but we can't be living in the same room together. And this is you. And it has to be that, or we don't have a relationship.
Yeah.
As for you, you are not willing to unlearn and relearn, you know. So your spouse must come in with the understanding that we have to be in separate rooms. It's good you're being honest, but is that really the way to go? Are you willing to understand why they also feel being in the same room is important? Are you even willing to have that conversation? Maybe after having the conversation, this person will also, they may also come to understand that, okay, it's okay for us to be in separate rooms. Or you will come to understand that, I think being together is better. But there are some people who are not even willing to have the conversation at all. It is this, it's been stamped, and that is it. Once you realize that that is who you are, you're stuck in your ways. Other people's perspectives don't matter to you. You're not ready to live with anybody. Be on your own and have your peace of mind. And this conversation doesn't concern you.
No compromise.
It doesn't concern you, actually. Now, we've also talked about, if you can't be easily spoken to, we all mentioned it, and that's what we are talking about. If you can't be easily spoken to, people are approaching you, they are scared. Hey, what will be his reaction? What will he say? They have to keep patronizing you
to
speak to you. Then please, be on your own. When you realize that you're making it all about you, we've talked about that. I think of you mentioned it also. You behave like a child whose toy cannot be shared. It's for me. Give it to me. It's for me. Give it to me. It's all about you.
If you don't pass the ball to me, I pick up my ball and the game is over.
Yes. We are not playing. Then that is it. Yeah. You know, you have a problem. And when you can't easily express your vulnerability because you think that people will feel you're weak and they will use it against you. But come on now. If you're in a relationship with somebody and you can't let your guts down for them.
Very mental.
I mean, it's so hard, Phoebe. There are some people who can't even open their mouth to tell you that, oh, I miss you, because when I say I miss you, you will use it against me. how How is that?
That shows the immaturity right there.
No, that one is not immaturity. It's insecurity.
Insecurity starting from immaturity.
Seriously.
You're not mature to even accept your own feelings that I have missed this person.
That is it. But hold on, say it again.
I can hear, please.
Ariel, please repeat that one.
I said it's part of emotional immaturity because you can't even be matured enough to accept that I have missed someone. I mean, then it means your emotions that you are feeling, you can't accept them and express them.
Yeah.
Right there is emotional immaturity, which may be starting because you feel insecure or your ego is too much for you to let people know, I have this, soft side of me.
Yeah.
Now, that is, people see, if I miss a woman, I'm soft. No.
Yeah.
If I miss a man, I'm soft. No. It is a feeling. And what are feelings? They are emotions that are just passing through. So I may miss you today, doesn't mean I miss you forever. So if you're
But there's nothing wrong with missing somebody forever.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with missing somebody.
In fact, I like the way you put it, though. The fact that you cannot even accept
your own feelings. You're not authentic.
Yeah. Hey, it's a big problem.
Oh, a problem. So how, if you can't accept...
And Adam, I want to say something here. This kind of feeling that even when you miss someone, you aren't able to tell them, sometimes lead us to not show concern for people's safety and their security when we are in relationships.
Yeah. That's all.
Because respect
that,
their space.
That will lead for you to say, are you okay?
Mm-hmm.
Or when you left me, have you safely gotten home? These little things are emotional maturity. But if you can't be mature enough to say, I miss you, you wouldn't move on to the next step of showing care for the person's safety, their security, little things. And people wonder, then what do you care about me for, you know? So we need to own our feelings. There's nothing wrong with saying, I slept today and I woke up and I missed you. Ah, it's so nice, huh?
Why should I come and tell you I miss you so that you now come and start checking your home and start doing things?
Exactly.
No. They won't say it. I like, look, I think I just love the way Ariel put it. You're not mature enough to accept and imbibe your own feelings. How are you going to have any feelings for anybody, really? Stay there. Yeah. Stay there. If you really want to be in a relationship, then these are things you really have to work on, because simple, I miss you, you can't say. Then what? So we're having adult conversation. When you get married to this person and you're able to make love to them and you really enjoyed it, so you can't tell them that, oh, you are so sweet, because once you say it, hey, no way.
It will be used against you.
I tell you. But what is wrong with you? This person has a problem.
You know, but Adam, I think you guys can agree that some of these things are also steeped in tradition and culture.
Yeah.
You know, we are not taught how to express our feelings. And a lot of us grew up in homes where our parents could not express, they couldn't be vulnerable with one another emotionally. The relationships were purely functional. You know, father goes to work, brings home money, mommy takes the money, buys the groceries, cooks, takes care of the house, takes care of the kids, pays the bills, you know, very functional. But there is not a lot of emotional expression in a lot of African homes, like traditionally African homes. A lot, there's a lot more emphasis is on what is your function, what is your role, what can you do. It's not who you are, it's not how you feel. And so a lot of people grew up being very emotionally stunted. So as much as, you know, we talk about learning and relearning, some of them have never been exposed to anything close to being emotionally healthy, because there's a lot of emphasis on being physically healthy, even maybe spiritually healthy, financially healthy, but emotions are not part of it at all. I remember they say things like, oh, mental health issues, there's the white people who have it. We don't have money. We don't have the time. I mean,
it's a white people and rich people's
it's
problem.
Problem.
Then I think temperament also play a role. Because extroverts may be very easy for them to express themselves, and most of the time they don't even mean what they say. They can say I love you or I miss you on a whim and not even mean it. And then you may realize that some introverts may be so shy and so uncomfortable expressing their feelings that, you know, it's difficult for them to say anything at all, you know. So we also have to cut those people some slack. But then we can learn. We can learn, you know.
Very much. I agree to the unlearning and learning. But see, for me, my thing is, like Kofi said, if your intention for not saying it is because somebody will see you as weak, then that one is a problem.
Yes.
If culturally we don't say it because of that, you don't know how to say it, then you are learning.
Yeah.
But this one, you know how to say it. But then your mind is that if I say it, like I know.
You want to appear tough.
I had a conversation with a couple, and the man's problem was that, like, even when they're making love, you're hearing, and the is it that you're hurting or excited? You can't. So you ask, are you okay? Is everything okay? All you can hear is so. Now he's not sure what the problem is, and that has become his focus now. Okay, so this particular expression, what really does it mean? Are you able to tell me something? You will say, but these are some of the things that we have to unlearn and learn.
Yes.
That it's important that your emotions are communicated, especially so if your partner gives you that safe space.
Exactly. Yes.
If you have that safe space with your partner, then it's important that, come on now, let it out.
Let your guard down a little.
Exactly, and enjoy the relationship, you see. And then you have to, Ariel mentioned that it's important that we're more responsive than reactive in a relationship. Mm. So your partner is talking to you, listen and respond accordingly. Other than always being on the defensive and want to react because you think that you're being attacked. Sometimes you're not being attacked.
Exactly.
And if you're being responsive, even if the person's words don't come out right, that's where you are able to tell them that, I don't think your words came out right.
Yes.
And you're responding to the person other than always sitting on edge and thinking that this person is here to hurt me, to hammer me, and then you're always reacting and then you end up spoiling everything.
And we also have to learn to focus on issues and not on personalities, on issues, you know.
Let me put it down.
Yes. Because when we attack, when we focus on the individuals, they feel attacked and then they fight back. But when we can point to specific issues, something that they did that you do not like, without calling them names, without blaming them, without being accusatory, then you can have some peace at home.
Exactly. So focus on issues and not on, you know, personal attacks.
Yes.
And then you have to, we also have to accept that marriage is for you. The marriage is about the other person. Imagine that we are all trying to make it about our partners.
Yes.
We'll end up being whole together.
That's right.
So you have your individuality. They have their individuality. But in this relationship, I want to make you happy. I want my efforts to add something to you. And their thoughts is also that they want to add something to you. Imagine where you both will be. But why should we even go into a relationship prejudiced about each other? I mean, yes, offenses may have come along the way because of that. You have issues with your partner, but deal with it and come back to a safe space.
Yes.
Otherwise, instead of staying there and hurting each other, I guess you just have to probably decide to let go.
Exactly.
Great. So we're talking about being emotionally mature. I don't know if there are, and then we've talked, somebody mentioned flexibility. I think it was a real.
Yeah.
Yes. That we also need to be very flexible. I mean, all of it goes into it. Can you be so stiff in a relationship and then you become like a headmaster, you know? Be flexible and learn to play with your partner. Sometimes you need to relax
and
a bit.
And open-minded.
Eh? There are some people that you can't joke with, though. I mean, there are some people who call their husband sir.
Yeah.
Yes, because this is a sir place. This is such a relationship. You don't expect some of
the master servant relationship.
I tell you, I kid you not. And you will have to. And Ariel, Phoebe made a very important point about the fact that culturally we're not very expressive people. And so if you're somebody who goes on that tangent and you are always expressing your feelings and saying, sometimes you're seen as, you talk too much.
Yeah.
You know, you talk too much. And
be a man.
Your partner is not a mind reader.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and the place we are now is not those places that they were.
Yeah.
Trust me. I mean, a lot of things have changed. Some, some for the good, some for the worse.
But all the mental health issues.
Yeah, a lot of things. Yeah,
emotional abuse.
Yes. So if it's not going well, you should be able to talk. But the challenge is if your partner is not approachable, and you can't talk to them, and you're walking on eggshells when you're around your partner, then there's a problem. And that's why we are having this conversation, that being accommodative of each other is a very sure sign of maturity.
Yeah.
You have to be able to accommodate each other.
Yes.
What are these person's thoughts? What are their feelings? How can we meet each other? It's very, very, very important that we do that. Otherwise, so now I want to find out from us before we go, and I'll activate the phone lines in a bit also, to find out if you're already stuck in a place. This conversation will do good for a lot of people who are now planning to go into marriage. Then you know that you will have to work around these things. But a lot of people are already there.
Yeah.
And they are dealing with these things like no other person's business. Like you're in a relationship where you can't think.
Yeah.
You can't act unless you have been instructed to think and act.
Yes.
'Cause if you think and you act, you have been disrespectful.
Yes.
If you think and you act and it goes wrong in a small way, you are in trouble.
Yes.
So for people who find themselves in places like this, what's the way out for them? How do they begin, to make things right? I'll be back for us to talk about that. The joy of every parent is to see their children cheerful and hearty. And to achieve this desire, every parent needs to ensure that their children are given nutritious foods that has the essential nutrients and multivitamins which can promote their welfare. And one of such nutritious beverages is Vitamilk Soy Milk Drink. Vitamilk Soy Milk is made from natural beans, which is a good source of plant protein. And we're talking about vitamins B1 and B2. It has no artificial flavoring, no colorings, and no preservatives. So why don't you go on and choose the Vitamilk Champ for your children, because it has plant proteins and it is nutritious